Hey, Heather here. Designed to empower individuals to be their best self, the Ron Kitchens Always Forward Leadership Podcast brings fresh understanding to the issues today's leaders are facing and equips them with new perspectives and resources to lead forward. Welcome to today's conversation with Ron Kitchens and Brad Lominick.
Hey, thank you for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast, where we are here today to talk about the issues addressing leadership and what leaders are dealing with every day. And I'm joined, as always, by Brad Lominick. And Brad, thanks for being here.
Absolutely. I'm here. I am present and accounted for, sir. Oh. I'm part of the conversation today.
You are
excited about this conversation around purpose.
So what's your purpose? You tee it up there. When you look in the mirror, when you're in that quiet time and reflection, what's your purpose?
I have a calling statement that is to influence influencers. That is my calling or my purpose statement in life. And so when I'm thinking about the riverbanks by which all of occupations, assignments, seasons of life, projects, if those have to have a connection point, it is that statement, which is influencing the influencers. And I'm not the only one that's ever had that one. There's probably lots more who would say that feels like their purpose in life. And it took me a while to get there. You know, I mean, you could phrase it differently, connecting the connectors or gathering those who hopefully can create the most impact. But that's what I feel like I've been made to do. I've been designed to do. I've been wired to do. All of the past for me has led up to that. And it was always happening even in those days.
And that was my question. Was that your purpose, your why, even before you had the vocabulary?
It was. Yeah, I remember in kindergarten, the first day of kindergarten, and Mrs. Bree's laughing at me. I remember the first day in Mrs. Weaver's kindergarten class.
It's easy to remember when you were in the same class twice.
Exactly. So, yeah, when you get to do it three or four times. But the first day of class, you know, there's 30 kids in the class, and I was connecting with them, learning their names. The second day, I was doing deals in the cafeteria. I'm connecting one person who has a chocolate milkshake to somebody else who's got Cheetos, and they're doing a trade deal. And
he had better food in his cafeteria than mine.
I'm getting some Doritos out of the deal, you know. But there was this sense that even at that age of 5 or 6, that my wiring and gifting was leading me to not just be in front of the class or be, you know, leading, but also to be somebody who was connecting those who were in the class. And all of that proved itself through school, you know, and I was always the person that would watch things happen and help produce, whether it was the school play or it was the school dance or it was, you know, a school assembly that had never been done. I always had that sense on my life that that was what I was supposed to be doing. And I didn't have the vocabulary at that point. But now having that statement, everything for me then, there's not one thing. I think so many of us, Ron, like we think that there's one thing in my life that is supposed to be my why. It's my one purpose. And if I don't ever do that, then I've failed in life. And I think it's broader than that. I think you have to think about your why with a broader perspective. Don't have such a telescope mentality or even a microscope mentality on the way that you look at what is that one thing that I'm supposed to do. I think there's lots of things you can do that all fit in the context of a bigger statement or phrase or riverbanks. That's a good way to look at it. What are the riverbanks that I can create that then will allow me to, you know, do the backstroke or get in a boat or go down on an inner tube? It doesn't matter. I'm still in that river and on the same path.
So was there a point as you were sorting this through, whether it's in college or after, or as you're transitioning into different roles, where there was a frustration or a disconnect between how you felt you were hardwired and being able to monetize that into the world?
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the greatest frustrations or areas of frustration for all of us. It has been for me. You know, fortunately, most of my seasons of career have been lined up with my purpose statement. So I've been able to actually monetize my why through the what, meaning that I was able to take what was a purpose and the thing that I find great value in, feel like I'm made to do, and line it up with the what for that season, and then put some sort of currency or monetization on it. Most people, the reason they have hobbies or they have these outlets of expressions are because they're pursuing their purpose, they're pursuing their why, they just haven't figured out how to get paid for it or to create a way where it's enough of an economy.
Or be willing to be okay with that being their career and their identity.
You got it. I think most, when people talk about, you know, sort of your halftime and they talk about having a midlife crisis, men or women, it doesn't matter. Most of the time it's you finally discovered what your why is. You finally found that purpose. You've had enough time, 20 years, give or take, 25 years, give or take, to be in a career, vocation, life. And you look around and go, I now know what it is, but I can't change because I've got a mortgage. I've got three kids. I've got...
Everybody identifies me as an X. And if I was a Y, then they might not like me and value me as much.
You got it.
I might not get invited to that party anymore.
I think that's so much of the reason that we have these midlife crises. It's not because we're missing out on the things. We're not looking for the Ferrari, necessarily. We've finally discovered what we were made for, but we can't actually go pursue it because it's going to change so much in our life that we're not willing to pay that price.
Yeah, and I don't disagree. I've never thought of it that way. But sitting here thinking of it, you know, two things come to mind. One, that I was going to have a midlife crisis, but then Lynn told me I couldn't. So she actually told me I could download all of the Kansas, Boston, and Foreigner music I wanted on Spotify.
Hey, that's...
So I got like, she let me have the unlimited Spotify, $3.99 a month.
That might be the ticket, the new midlife crisis answer, solution.
Full access to Spotify.
Full access to Spotify and all those old tunes.
Yeah. But, you know, the other thing is there's, when you said that about midlife crisis being around this purpose issue, it comes to me that there's also never been an easier time to change that paradigm.
Absolutely.
There's never been a time that it's easier to get access to education. I was with the dean of the Western Michigan University's law school the other day, and we were talking about, you know, they have a weekend law school program now that's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and that, you know, 3 years you're out of law school and you've graduated. You can combine that with a master's degree. And then I said, well, who's doing that? And he said, oh, it's all mid to late career people.
Yeah.
These are people who got to that exact point you said and said, this is really what I wanted to go do. I just didn't have the resources then, or I didn't have the courage.
Yeah.
Then, and now I do. And you see that. And the barriers to entry in almost everything are so low.
Or gone. There's not any barrier.
Yeah. That we don't have to.
And you know, one of the, you
go,
know, what,
I missed that boat.
One of the areas of life right now, one of the sort of thriving opportunities is the fourth quarter reestablishment, meaning that somebody who gets now to 65, the old days it was, well, I'm 65, so I got to go play shuffleboard and play golf and, you know, do whatever retired people do. Nowadays, there's the whole new industry that is the 65-year-old who's starting something new. So it's that, again, I've discovered what I love or what my passion is or what I feel like I was made to do. And I might have missed that for 30 or 40 years because I was an accountant or I was a bank VP. And I really didn't feel like that was hitting on all cylinders. But now I've started a construction company and I have my own bulldozer and I go and do excavation work in the city. And man, I'm thriving now all of a sudden. That was never true until now. I mean, there was pockets of that.
Yeah.
But nowadays it's the rising industry right now. Is that you're seeing all these 60-somethings and 70-somethings saying, I've got a brand new career and I'm willing to take the last part of, you know, the fourth quarter of my life and actually do something about it. So it's happening at every level, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70. People are saying, I don't have to just put up with this. I don't want to be in a place where I feel like there's a why on my life. There's an answer to the why on my life that I really can't go pursue. And like you said, we've never had more opportunities to actually quit. I mean, Acuff wrote a book about it.
Yeah.
You know, called Quitter, which is this whole premise that you might want to quit your day job in order to pursue what feels like the dream for you, or the thing that pulls out of you the most of your why.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm fascinated by this idea of people getting happier. Because if we can eliminate barriers, then we eliminate frustrations. We allow people to play into their own purpose and strengths. That's one of those things that it took me. I was probably into my late 30s or 40s before I understood the idea of strengths, about that there were things that I would do. And we operate at Southwest Michigan First on a premise of 70-20-10. 70% of your day should be spent within your strengths, should be things that are hard, but bring you energy and joy. Doesn't mean if you didn't do them all day, you're not going to go home exhausted, but you're going to go home exhausted thinking that was the best day ever.
Mm-hmm.
20% of your time is taking out the trash. There's duties that we all have to do. It's the price we pay to be on this earth. There are just those things that have to get done. And that 10% should be for curiosity, should be for the new experiences to see if they also bring you joy or if they compound your joy. And so it was late into my career, I guess relatively into my early 40s, before I figured that out and figured out how to tell it. So for me, and I'll still do this occasionally if I'm in a season of, I find I'm grouchy. And I'm lucky that I have several people on my team who will come in and go, "Hey there, Oscar, did you steal Cookie Monster's cookies today?"
Right,
or
right.
A little grouchy. And I know that I'm not in my 70. I'm not playing into my strengths. So I'll begin to journal. Here are the things I'm doing. And I've got a computer software thing that lawyers use where you're booking your time in 15-minute increments. I have sheets of paper. But I'm just journaling. What am I doing? How am I using my time? And it becomes really clear, I'm not in my purpose. And my purpose has changed. For the first 30 years of my career, whether I was in business or I was working with Senator Danforth or working in economic development or city management, my whole purpose was jobs. All I care about is jobs. And that was all that I did. Everything I did was about working with companies so they would hire more people. Until a few years ago, and that it became really clear that I couldn't do enough on my own to achieve my goals, and that my real purpose is to build leaders. My real purpose is, whether those are leaders in business, whether those are leaders of our organization, whether they're leaders in the faith-based community, whether they're leaders in government. If I can lift up enough leaders and then sell them that they can have the most impact by creating jobs, I can magnify mm-hmm. what I'm doing. And it was there at that point that I actually got peace. Because my whole career, I had felt this anxiety every day of, I'm not doing enough. And it was right. I wasn't doing enough because I was only building me. I was focused on me and I wasn't focused on changing the environment. And when I began to change the environment of people and focus on them and encourage them to change the companies and create jobs, is where I finally found peace in what I'm doing. And I am so running in my purpose right now and so running in my lane. But that's a hard thing. So you've dealt with literally thousands of leaders around this issue. What's your perception of this?
Well, I mean, I think it's one of the biggest issues of this generation. And when I say this generation, meaning anybody who's sort of playing as a 20-something or 30-something, 40-something, it doesn't matter. But more than ever, if the why is not there, then the what is insignificant. And the what will just change. It'll change over and over and over because we have to now connect the why and the what. And actually, we have to connect the who as well. All those have to be integrated and congruent, where the old days, it was, hey, just do your what. It doesn't matter if it connects to a why. At the end of the day, it's not about the why anyway. The why is all the other stuff that you do in life. And we have a generation now looking for holistic life.
Completely integrated life.
Completely integrated, holistic. It all makes sense. It all connects. And so as employers and as leaders, we have to not only understand this for ourselves, we have to help our teams figure out well, what's their why? And how does your why connect to our why as an organization? But also, do you know what your why is? And then here's the sometimes hard part is when you help your team understand their why, then their what might change, meaning they do something different or they go to a different organization. It may be that the best place for them to accomplish their what based on their why is actually another organization, another industry, another profession. And leaders have to be willing to like walk through that with your team because that's what their expectation is now. So you have to connect these dots. And the who is obviously the culture and who you're doing life with. But man, the why and the what, they are integrated today way more than they've ever been.
Yeah, we couldn't agree more. We're big believers in the Gallup Strengths Finder. And people, you know, question it. So, okay, once I have the information, what do I do with it? And in some cases, it just validates who you are as a person. But I can remember, it must be a decade ago now, we had a team member who had come to us with an acquisition of an organization we brought on. And so we were going through the Gallup Strengths Finder. And I said, you know, your strengths are all incongruent with the job you do.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, yeah, I've never had a good day at work in my life, ever.
So sad. Yeah.
And I said, well, let's fix that. What do you want to do?
Yeah.
And so we started looking at that. And we've got a member of our team, Carla Winchester, who's a certified strengths coach. And so Carla can work folks through this and go, you know, what brings you joy? What brings you energy? And, you know, you answer these questions the way the very best X answers this. And invariably people go, yeah, when I was a kid, that was my dream. I wanted to be a nurse, but nobody from my community was ever a nurse. Mm-hmm. Or I wanted to go into that, but I didn't know how. So I just did this because everybody I knew did this. And so we have this knowledge. And if you can get somebody to translate your essence into how that fits in the marketplace, the way Carla does for people, all of a sudden you see light bulbs go off in people's heads. You see people understand that I'm not weird. That no, I'm in the wrong role.
Right.
But I can be the most successful person. I can be amazing and happy and joyful if I just play where my strengths are, not off doing some role that I'm not hardwired for. And so this idea around purpose, millennials are demanding it. Generation X are discovering it. And the baby boomers are only going to tolerate it. So an organization who can clearly align their purpose with people who share that common purpose are those organizations that are unstoppable. And those that don't are those that are destined to be posting jobs every day on Craigslist because they won't keep people in it. Because the worst thing is you may actually keep all the unhappy people.
Right.
Because the happy people are going to leave. So you're just going to restock eventually with all the misaligned. You're the island of misfit toys.
Mm.
And you're stuck. And Santa Claus doesn't really come to save you. So we've got to figure this purpose issue out. And there's lots of great tools.
Yeah.
And
lots of strengths finders, lots of personality tests, lots of things that you can line up for.
Yep.
Discovering that.
But then having somebody who can translate it for you, who can be your pathfinder. I love Sacagawea, the Native American guide who got Lewis and Clark from the Dakotas all the way to the Pacific Ocean. And I love her as a leader and a metaphor. But she was able to translate for these high-performing men what they needed to know to get to success. And we all need a Sacagawea in our life. We all need somebody who can help us traverse that journey. And I wish that for all of our listeners. And I wish that for every organization out there, because that's what success is going to look like.
That's good. Well, my challenge is don't settle for somebody else's why. You know, like if you haven't discovered that, it's okay. You may spend all of your life trying to discover your why and trying to understand your calling statement or your purpose, but keep pursuing it because it's there. It may take somebody else speaking it into you. It may take your friends helping you identify it, but don't quit pursuing it. Because so many of us, we get into career life, like you just said, the nurse, the teacher, the missionary, the whatever that was.
Our why becomes positional.
Exactly. And don't ever give up on that why, because there are ways now more than ever before to be able to discover it, not just discover it, actually speak into it and actually start doing it, even if it means the monetization will follow at some point.
Well, thank you all for joining us today and knowing that your why is to be with us. And so we are so blessed to have you and we're so grateful. We'll see you next week. Hey, we want to thank you for listening to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. Our friends at Audible are offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their services. I highly recommend you check out The Curious Christian, How Discovering Wonder Enriches Every Part of Life by Barnabas Piper. To get started, just go to audibletrial.com/always forward for your free trial. That's again, audibletrial.com/always forward. You'll find the link to it in the show notes. I really encourage you to join us on our journey of knowledge.
Thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope today's insights will help you develop into the leader you dream to be. To subscribe to Ron's blog or to submit a question for Ron to discuss in a future podcast, visit ronkitchens.com or tweet him at ronkitchens.